हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः दैवासुरसम्पद्विभागयोगो नाम षोडशोऽध्यायः We are seeing the 16th chapter. Let us just read the first three verses. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi Danam Damascha Yajnascha Swadhyayastapa Arjavam Ahimsa Satyamakrodha Tyagashantirapaishunam Dayabhoteshvaloluptvam Mardavam Hrirachapalam Tejaha Kshamadhritishaucham Adroho Natimanita Bhavanti Sampadam Daivim Abhijatasya Bharata Dambho Darpo Bhimanas Well, this is Tejaha Kshamadhriti Shaucham Adroho Natimanita Bhavanti Sampadam Daivim Abhijatasya Bharata So Bhagavan briefs the divine wealth of a person in first three verses. We have seen abhayam, sattva samshuddhihi, jnana yoga vivasthitihi, danam, damaha, yajnaha, swadhyayaha, tapaha, arjavam. Nine virtues, divine virtues, possession of which is considered to be divine wealth. We have seen nine virtues in the first verse. Then, ahimsa, satyam, akrodaha, tyagaha, shantihi, apaishunam, daya, bhuteshu aloluptvam, bhuteshu daya. Okay? Bhuteshu daya means daya bhuteshu. Daya bhuteshu, aloluptvam, mardavam, hrihi achapalam. I'll repeat, ahimsa, satyam, akrodaha, tyagaha, shantihi, apaishunam, bhuteshu daya, aloluptvam, mardavam, hrihi achapalam. Ahimsa, satyam, akrodaha, tyagaha, shantihi, apaishunam, bhuteshu daya, aloluptvam, mardavam, hrihi achapalam. 11. So in second verse, we have 11 virtues. First verse 9, so totally 20. And third verse, Tejaha, Kshama, Dhritihi, Shaucham, Adrohaha, Na Atimanita, Natimanita. Okay, 6. Totally 26 virtues are said to be the divine wealth possessed by a person who is born with the divine asset. And you have come up to the Kshama. You have seen Tejaha. Already we were seeing Kshama. The Kshama is otherwise said to be Titiksha. And Titiksha is something one can have. Kshama one can have only when a person, Kshama means forbearance, tolerance, endurance. Mother Earth is known as Kshamavati. One who is endowed with the Kshama is called Kshamavati. Mother Earth, how much she tolerates and endures and puts up with us, how much you're walking at. In Sanskritam, Mother Earth, one of the names of Mother Earth is Kshamavati. And if a man has kshama, he's called kshamavan, the person of tolerance, endurance. And here we also, accommodating the nonsense also is implies what? Tolerance. And here forbearance, titiksha, endurance. Titiksha is possible if a person has understanding of the fact that whatever comes in life, whether pain comes or pleasure comes, success comes, loss comes, whatever comes in life, desirable, undesirable, everything is subject to arrival and departure. Nothing is permanent. So everything comes and goes. This understanding of the fact about the situations. And one more thing, all these things, whatever happens in life also, is determined by Bhagavan in the form of natural laws. In conformity with one's own punya papam, one has in one's account. Therefore, everything is law ordained. Nothing, even though other people or situations who become responsible, who seem to be responsible, are only instrumental to trigger those emotions in us. Therefore, the external situations and people are only instrumental, nimittam, for whatever we go through in life. If this fact is understood, that everything is ordained by natural laws, in conformity with what we have in our own punya papa account. Second thing, even though they're ordained by Bhagavan in the form of natural laws, they are of the nature of coming and going. They're impermanent. Once you understand this fact, then definitely we can remain balanced. When a desirable situation arrives, we can remain balanced without elation. Unpleasant situation comes also, we can remain balanced without feeling dejected or low or depressed. This maintaining equanimity, with understanding of the fact that everything comes and goes in life, is possible if you understand the fact. Then this is what is said to be kshama. Titiksha. Titiksha is one of the meanings of the word kshama. And this we have already learned in the second chapter itself. When Bhagavan said, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkada. When sense organs come in contact with the external world, naturally they give rise to the experience of pairs of opposites. And they are not permanent. All those situations are of the nature of coming and going. Agama apayino nityaha anityaha. Agama apayinaha anityaha. Tan titikshasva bharata. Bhagavan taught titiksha even in the second chapter itself. The same titiksha is repeated again as kshama. In fact, if a person has jnanam, then in the jnanam, the person will become absolutely a person of absolute tolerance, kshamavan purushaha. Because the person will not be dependent on the external world for anything, therefore he can accommodate any nonsense. And he won't be reactive. Only if there's expectation, if they want things to be different from what they are, how they are, then they can't accommodate. That is why it's always said, kshama also, kshama, otherwise said, kshantihi. Kshama, otherwise called kshantihi, not shanti. Please make note. Shanti is different from kshanti. K-S-H-A. Kshama, kshantihi. Okay, I was said to be titiksha. And how can we have kshama if we consciously follow certain tapas? Now let me learn to bear with this. This is going to come and this is going to go away. No situation is permanent. Constantly reminding ourselves of the fact about any situation we go through in life will help us remain balanced. Okay, constantly reminding ourselves of the fact about the nature of situations. So this is, and one can have kshama by following tapas. So tapas will bless a person with the benefit of having kshama, forbearance, tolerance, endurance. And I say, already said, Shankara Bhagavatpada also, gives another, also gives another meaning in terms of absence of anger. If you have tolerance, then naturally there will not be anger. So you get angry when you are not able to tolerate other person's behavior or not able to tolerate a situation. That is when you get angry. If there is endurance and tolerance, naturally the anger will be resolved. So kshama also implies being free from anger, or having certain degree of mastery over one's anger also is said to be kshama. The anger is an expression of intolerance, non-accommodation, non-endurance. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions the kshama is also something implying the akrodaha, not having anger. Taking care of one's anger also will help one have kshama. Kshama means patience, endurance, tolerance, forbearance. If a person takes care of one's anger, then this person is trying to manage his problem of anger. And there is, naturally, the person will have kshama. So kshama implies entertaining the mind or having the mental disposition. The word kshama implies having the mental disposition in which a person takes care of one's anger. One manages one's anger. So managing one's anger means not allowing anger to enslave us also is kshama. If the anger does not even rise in your mind, it is kshama. And after one, the anger has come, we are able to manage the anger, then it is akrodaha. So managing the anger which has already risen is called akrodaha, non-anger. If a person has a mental disposition where anger doesn't even rise, then it is called kshama. In fact, it is very difficult to control the anger from rising. It is not at all possible, first of all, to prevent the anger from rising. The anger must rise in us. Naturally, anger or no emotion can be controlled. Definitely, anger cannot be controlled. Cannot control in the sense what? We cannot prevent the anger from rising. But if a person has his kshama, then anger will not even rise. So having kshama in place, even non-rising of the anger. But if a person doesn't have enough kshama, doesn't have patience, endurance or tolerance, anger will rise. But that anger, a person has to manage. the person has the capacity to manage the anger, this is called non-anger. This is how Shankara Bhagavatpada presents this kshama and akrodaha. Even though it is very difficult to prevent the anger from rising, it is not impossible. Shankara Bhagavatpada assertively states it is possible to prevent the anger from rising if we develop this virtue of kshama. So kshama, you can see, has all these different meanings: endurance, tolerance, forbearance, patience, accommodation. All these meanings are, we have to say in English to, as the meaning of this one word kshama. And this is possible for a person to have endurance, tolerance, patience, forbearance, accommodation, if we have the understanding of the fact that whatever comes in life, everything is ordained by Bhagavan in the form of natural laws, in conformity with my own punya papam. And even if it is ordained by Bhagavan, still everything is of the nature of coming and going. Nothing is permanent. And especially when I live this life as with the Purushartha Nischaya, having moksha as my goal, working for the attainment of jnanam, which alone is permanent happiness and peace. With this understanding is there, then definitely one can pray to Bhagavan to bless one with the strength to remain calm, to remain balanced in all situations without elation and dejection. So living a life of karma yoga, having prasada buddhihi, and looking at everything as Bhagavan ordained situations, thereby if a person is committed to live a life of dharma also, definitely one can have this mental disposition where one will have the capacity to prevent the anger from rising. So kshama is possible. So kshama is said to be titiksha. Okay, this is also said based on what Shankara Bhagavatpada says. In fact, if you see what this anger is, anger is something, a natural phenomenon which obtains when our desires, wishes do not get fulfilled. And when our expectations and situations are not to our expectations, then those situations naturally get converted into some sort of irritability, which is also an expression of, which alone which express becomes anger. Therefore, kshama is something repeatedly one has to understand all situations as law ordained situations, as Bhagavan ordained situations. And they all have appropriate reason why those situations are there. Thereby, if this understanding is there, it's an expression, it's a maturity. Then without blame, if I do not blame others for what I go through, then there will be patience. I don't blame others for what I go through because I understand the fact, whatever I go through, is ordained by law in conformity with what I have in my own account of past punya papa. And others only become instrumental. The time, place, people, situations are only instrumental. And second thing, even if they come and go, they're time-bound in nature. And they're all ordained by Bhagavan. Therefore, I look at them as prasada. And thereby, one can try to remain equanimous. And this mental equanimity in karma yoga is highly glorified as samatvam yoga uchyate, samatvam. So learning to have samatvam by living a life of karma yoga, entertaining prasada buddhi will bless a person with kshama. So kshama is there, naturally anger will gradually resolve for good. This is the way one can have the anger resolved for good if the person has kshama. This Shankaracharya is very assertive. Yes, you can prevent the anger from rising if you have this virtue of wealth of kshama. Okay. Then next virtue we see there in the text is Tejaha Kshama Dhritihi Shaucham Adrohaha Nati Manita. The what next is Dhritihi. See, Dhritihi is a Strilinga Shabdaha. Kshama is a feminine gender word. Dhritihi is also a feminine gender word. Dhritihi means resolve, fortitude, perseverance, strong will. So if unless and until a person has strong will and capacity to persevere, and the person has fortitude, it is not possible for one to continue to practice any discipline as a means of preparing one's mind, as a means of attaining jnanam. So practice of any sadhana, continuous practice of any sadhana is possible only if a person has dhritihi, fortitude, perseverance. Because of course every day, every hour, any time, there'll be obstacles. Whatever we want to do, there'll be obstacles. If we want to achieve small thing, there'll be obstacles. So impediments, obstacles, hurdles will be there in anything we want to pursue and achieve. Of course, in accomplishing jnana moksha, there'll be many obstacles. Even in day-to-day necessity to fulfill or pursue day-to-day necessities, also there'll be obstacles. But when obstacles come, we all have the tendency to give up what you are pursuing. And without giving up what you are committed to, whatever problems and obstacles and hindrances we have, still if we can continue to pursue, we can continue to practice our disciplines, only if a person has dhritihi. So the capacity to persevere, even if a person has obstacles, then the person has a strong will. That strong will is said to be dhritihi. And we're going to see later on also how Bhagavan is going to discuss about this dhritihi, because of willpower. Many of the Westerners, even in Indians, many people have this wrong understanding There is no will. Everything is Bhagavan's. Of course, everything is ordained by Bhagavan. But still, people do not understand. There's no willpower at all. But Shah Bhagavan says, of course, human being alone is specifically blessed with the willpower. And dhritihi, we cannot talk about dhritihi of an animal. Even animals, without knowing that they have the thing, they have their own way of persevering things. But still, here consciously we are able to persevere. That's what is will dhritihi. And this dhritihi also, we are going to understand later on the three types of dhritihi. Sattviki dhritihi, rajasi dhritihi, tamasi dhritihi. In Shraddhatra Vibhaga Yoga, they are going to understand about this dhritihi again. Everything we understand in terms of sattvic, rajasic and tamasic predominances. So sattviki dhritihi, rajasi dhritihi and tamasi dhritihi. Means one's willpower can be of sattvic or it can be rajasic and tamasic. And Bhagavan will definitely is going to elaborately discuss this in the 18th chapter. So, dhritihi is derived from the verb dharati. Dharati, dharayati. And these verbs dharati and dharayati are derived from the root dhru. Dhru means holding, sustaining, bearing. Therefore, dhritihi means being endowed with a strong willpower and the capacity to persevere, the resolve to fulfill, accomplish whatever one is committed to in spite of the obstacles, irrespective of whatever comes in life. That is dhritihi. So it is a daivi sampat. Daivi sampat. And definitely a person who is committed to live a life of dharma is the one who has surrendered his will to Bhagavan in the form of order. For that person, dhritihi will be definitely there. Bhagavan's grace is needed for a person to have dhritihi. One can have dhritihi if your will is surrendered to Bhagavan in the form of dharma, which means committed to live a life of values. That is why we briefly say, commit understanding, living a life of karma yoga, and living a life of karma yoga will bless a person with dhritihi. And the next is, we have the same, shaucham. Shaucham literally means cleanliness. Cleanliness, if everything is dirty, we have to keep everything clean. That is shaucham. If everything is messy, we have to keep things in proper order. So shaucham implies being orderly and being clean. And this also is something not new. We have already understood this word, meaning of the word shaucham in the 13th chapter as one of the 20 virtues under the topic of jnanam. So how I keep everything at home, in my own room, in the kitchen, in the bedroom, in the bathroom, and also outside where I live, in my office, in my bureau, in my cupboard, all these things. So being orderly in everything I do, keeping everything clean in all my places around me is shaucham. even though we understand the importance of shaucham, we do know what shaucham is, still, either because of laziness or because of sometimes too much of commitments, then we sometimes it's not easy for people to implement this understanding of shaucham. Therefore, here, one must, if a person is committed to the pursuit of moksha and the jnanam, and if he is working for, prepare his mind for this jnanam, and subtle facts have to be understood from the shastram, definitely one must give importance for this discipline of keeping everything clean and orderly. And this is very important for mental purification. Of course, that is why Shastram talks about antara shaucham, bahya shaucham, internal cleanliness. One must take care of internal cleanliness. How? By committing oneself to live a life of universal values. So strictly following truthfulness in speech and not to do any himsa, by following all these ahimsa, satyam, asteyam, etc., one can have internal cleanliness. If it is difficult to maintain, follow dharma, that is why we have to seek Bhagavan's grace. And that is why in our culture we have this habit of taking teetham. We offer water to Bhagavan. When you offer the water, it's a simple water, H2O. Then you take the water offering, after offering to Bhagavan, you take it back, it is called Tirtham. What Jalam becomes Tirtham. Tirtham is Jalam, but Jalam is not Tirtham. Tirtham is water, but water is not Tirtham. Why? Because before offering to Bhagavan, it is water, Jalam. Once you take it back from Bhagavan as Prasada, it is Tirtham. And the Tirtham is that which purifies. And there's a prayer, okay? May this Tirtham offered to Bhagavan, when taken in, click. Bless me with all the internal cleanliness I need. And we also chant a mantra, Om Achyutaya Namaha, Om Anantaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha. And we chant a mantra and then drink the water, do achamanam, and then you take the water, also drink water. It's for the water, the Tirtham drunk for cleansing the mouth is called achamanam. We have padyam, argyam, achamanam, isn't it? So internal cleansing, antara shaucham. And bahya shaucham, physical cleanliness, of course we use all soaps and whatnot, and every day having shower. And then however cold it is, still one must have at least once in England, very cold. So we need not bathe twice, at least once we must definitely bathe. You know, so bahya shaucham, and wearing clean clothes and having the washed clothes. All these, we don't need to talk about it, but still it's an important discipline. Antara shaucham and bahya shaucham. Okay, next is shantihi. Tejaha kshama dhritihi shaucham adrohaha. Adrohaha. Drohaha. Drohaha means betrayal. Adrohaha. See, not hurting another person mentally. Not contributing for mental wounding is called adrohaha. If you physically hurt a person, the physical hurting also is himsa, violence. And non-hurting mentally. So not contributing for mental wounding. Hurting is also said to be adrohaha. Even if I do not express my anger in the form of wounding somebody physically, even if I think in my mind, I'm very, very angry, in my mind I think of harming somebody, and that having the wish to harm or hurt other person mentally also is what? Droha. In the mind I think, if I entertain a thought of hurting, wounding, harming, destroying somebody, even if physically I don't do it, but yeah, mentally I entertain a thought of destroying, harming, doing something wrong or bad to another person, it is drohaha. And not entertaining any thought of harming, destroying, or not having any wish to do any wrong thing to other person is adrohaha. So avoidance of wounding at the mental level is called adrohaha. Avoidance of himsa mentally is adrohaha. So hurting is himsa, wounding is himsa. Physically doing is himsa. Avoiding mentally the thought of wounding or harming or destroying is adrohaha. Thought of wounding and hurting, destroying, harming is adrohaha. Even if I do not physically do something, but mentally think of doing something wrong, it is droha. This is how Shankara Bhagavad Pada says. So any intention to harm others, even if I do not do physically, is adroha. This is droha. So not even having any thought of harming others is adrohaha. The concluding one, the last virtue, which is said to be a divine wealth, Daivi Sampath, is Natimanita. See, we have already come across this word Amanitvamadam Bhitvam. There also we came across Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam. There the first value, the first virtue we learned in the 13th chapter was Amanitvam. Manitvam means self-aggrandizement. Amanitvam means absence of self-aggrandizement. Same thing is Atimanita. Manitvam is equal to Atimanita. See, manam, mani. The person, mani, is the one who is full of himself is called mani. And manita means having superiority, thinking of one's own self as superior. Entertaining the thought of one's own self as superior is manita. So having superiority complex is manita. And being highly proud of oneself is also what? Atimanita. So having extreme superiority complex. Having tremendous pride of one's own self. Having pride and having superiority complex, being very proud is called Atimanita. Manita itself means that. So Atimanita means extreme pride. And extremely having superiority complex is Atimanita. Na Atimanita. Na Atimanita. Natimanita. Natimanita means being free from pride. Not only extreme pride. Being free from pride and being free from superiority complex and being free from pride is in fact Natimanita. So being free from extreme pride, being free from superiority complex means being humble. Being humble, having humbleness, having humility. And here, Shankara Bhagavatpada always presents, always thought this is something very important. Not having this Atimanita is an important virtue. Especially as a spiritual aspirant who lives his life with Purushartha Nischaya, having moksha as the ultimate goal and with the commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, when a person lives his life as a spiritual aspirant, it's very important to take care of this problem of Atimanita, and he should see he must have this virtue of Amanitam or Natimanita. That is why from the childhood onwards in India, of course, all the children are made to bow to the parents, teachers, gurus. You don't need to know whether the other person is great or not. From the children are always taught to bow to elders. Grandparents, parents, on auspicious days like birthday and a wedding day, always they'll go and bow to even, not only Bhagavan, even elders are supposed to bow to. When the child is taken to school, the first day the child is made to bow to the teacher's feet. It is natural to develop this. Of course, the actual humility, Swamiji always says, humility, there's no humility at all unless and until a person becomes a jnani. Absolutely, a person will be free from this problem of superiority complex or pride. You live on superiority complex. One can be absolutely free from pride. One can say one is humble. One has humility only when a person's ahankara is resolved for good. And resolution of ahankara for good is possible only in the wake of the clear ascertained vision of the truth, the vision of the fact that all that is there is only Bhagavan. Only Bhagavan is another than the reality. Only in jnanam, there's no I. Not even I. And where is this? To talk very highly of my, what are my possessions and positions. Therefore, only in jnanam, absolutely, a person can be said to be a humble person. Humility is a spontaneous expression, natural thing for a jnani. Until, as long as ajnanam is there, it's difficult for one to be without, to be free from pride. And so, superiority complex are all expressions of problem of, one sense of limitation centered on I. So it is not possible at all. There's nobody really speaking humble, but still certain degree of humility is absolutely nobody can be humble. Only in jnanam absolute humility is possible. అంట్లోన్ అటైన్స్ జ్ఞానం, ది మోర్ అండ్ మోర్ అ పర్సన్ అప్రిషియేట్స్ భగవాన్ ఈశ్వర ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ఆర్డర్ అండ్ ద మోర్ వి అప్రిషియేట్ ఈశ్వర యాజ్ ద హోల్ అండ్ ద మోర్ అ పర్సన్ బికమ్స్ హంబుల్. సో దట్ ఇస్ స్వామీజీ ఆల్వేస్ యూస్ టు సే, ద మోర్ యు అప్రిషియేట్ భగవాన్ ద లెస్ బికమ్స్ థిన్నర్ బికమ్స్ ది అహంకార. అహంకార బికమ్స్ థిన్నర్ అండ్ థిన్నర్ ద మోర్ వి బ్రింగ్ భగవాన్ ఇన్ టు వన్స్ లైఫ్, ద మోర్ యు అప్రిషియేట్ ఈశ్వర. సో నాతి మానిత మీన్స్ ఓన్లీ వెన్ బై లివింగ్ ఎ లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ కర్మ యోగ, బై బీయింగ్ కమిటెడ్ టు లివ్ ఎ లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ ధర్మ, ద మోర్ వి బ్రింగింగ్ ఈశ్వర ఇన్ టు వన్స్ లైఫ్, ద మోర్ వి అప్రిషియేట్ ది ఫ్యాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ భగవాన్ బీయింగ్ ది హోల్, నో గ్రాడ్యువలీ వన్ క్యాన్ థిన్ వన్స్ అహంకార, మీన్స్ వన్ క్యాన్ ఫ్రీ వన్ సెల్ఫ్ ఫ్రమ్ this problem of pride. And that is why it doesn't happen overnight. So from the beginning, even learning to bow to elders, parents and grandparents, teachers from childhood is becomes a custom. Whether child likes or not, they trained to do namaskaram, because that is how the child will gradually learn to pick up this virtue of nati manita. Only in jnanam, real humility is possible only in jnanam. Until then, certain degree of humility is possible the more we appreciate Ishvara. The more we appreciate Ishvara, understand the concept of Ishvara. Everything is Bhagavan, everything is order, everything is knowledge. The more we understand, and naturally we'll become, you know, we'll be free from superiority complex. And we appreciate everything as Bhagavan's vibhuti also, then there'll be pride and jealousy can be handled well. Therefore, any spiritual aspirant must learn to be humble. Understand one must be free from pride. As jnanam, one can become absolutely free from pride. Until then, by living a life of dharma, karma, yoga, the commitment to Bhagavan, one can handle this problem of pride. So one can have certain degree of freedom from pride, humility. So nati manita implies namrata. Namrata means vinamrata. Vinamrata, namrata, nati manita mean the same. Humility. Okay. With this, now you can calculate how many. 26 virtues together are presented in 3 verses by Bhagavan as Daivi Sampat. All these 26 virtues constitute Daivi Sampat, divine wealth. All these 26 virtues are the wealth possessions belonging to the person of divine wealth. దైవీ సంపత్. సో దైవీం సంపదం అభిజాతస్య, ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్ దేర్ బై భగవాన్ సేస్. అండ్ ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఇస్ ద పర్సన్ హూ క్యాన్ బి ది ఓనర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వెల్త్ ఆఫ్ 26 వర్చ్యూస్? ఓన్లీ ది పర్సన్ హూ ఈస్ ప్రిడామినెంట్లీ సాత్విక్. Sattva-gunavan, sattvika-gunavan purushaha. The person who is predominantly sattvic in nature, he will have all these 26 virtues as is. He'll be the owner, the possessor of this wealth, divine wealth. And the person may have. So one cannot have overnight, it's not possible for all of us to be born with these virtues also. So by converting ourselves from being tamasic and rajasic into a sattvic person, we also cultivate these virtues. So cultivation of these virtues implies converting ourselves from being predominantly tamasic and rajasic into predominantly a sattvic person. So Vedanta Shastram understands the human mind, understands the human fundamental problem. So lack of these virtues are nothing but expressions of our own common human fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy, limitations. Therefore, Shastram, it takes very long time for a person to have these virtues cultivated in oneself. That is why life of Karma Yoga is emphasized. Why one must choicelessly go through the discipline of Karma Yoga. Only by going through the discipline of Karma Yoga, understanding what should be the attitude, how one should be committed to dharma, etc. Gradually, a person who is tamasic person can become rajasic, predominantly rajasic. And rajasic person can gradually become sattvic. As the person becomes sattvic, he would have developed these divine virtues also. So, Shastra, studying the Shastram, understanding the teaching, assimilating the teaching is very easy. But Shastram itself says, but preparing the mind, converting oneself into a predominantly a person of sattvic nature, thereby to convert oneself into a person of divine virtues, a possessor of the divine wealth, involves much longer time, involves strain and difficulty also. Okay, that is why, how can I have Daivi Sambat, become a person of sattvic nature? If you have these virtues, you are a person of sattvic nature. If you are a person of sattvic nature, you will have these virtues naturally. And how can you become a person of sattvic nature? Be prayerful, be worshipful, consciously live a life of dharma and live a life of karma yoga. This is the answer. And let's move on to the next verse. It took very long time for us to complete these three verses discussing this Daivi Sampat. See, when we read, everything looks very simple. Oh, dambaha, darpaha, very dhritihi, very simple. No, we have to see whether we have inculcated those virtues, whether we have cultivated those virtuousness. Next.
Dambho darpo bhimanascha krodhav parushyamevacha. Dambho darpo bhimanascha krodhav parushyamevacha ajnanancha bhijatasya partha sampadamasurim. Dambho darpo bhimanascha krodhav parushyamevacha ajnanancha bhijatasya partha sampada masurim.
So, we are going to see the following verses. After discussing the wealth of the possession of the person of divine wealth, now we are going to see what is asuri sampat. Daivi Sampat, we have understood as 26 virtues constitute Daivi Sampat, the divine wealth. Now Bhagavan says in the, from these verses, Dambaha, Darpaha, Abhimanaha, Dambaha, Darpaha, Abhimanaha, Krodaha, Parushyam, Ajnanam. Bhagavan presents six defects, six problems as the wealth of a person of Asuri Sampat. Dambaha. Dambaha means vanity. Dambhitvam, we have already seen in 13th chapter. Dambhitvam we have seen. Dambhitvam means having dambha is dambhitvam, noun that is. Here dambaha means vanity. Vanity means pretension. Showing off. And darpaha. Darpaha is again arrogance. Abhimanaha. Abhimanaha also means actually vanity. If I pretend to have something which I do not have, it is dambha. Abhimanaha means showing off what I have is vanity. Abhimanaha. Very close, let me explain to you. Abhimanaha. Abhimana also means self-respect, but here abhimanaha means vanity. Then krodha means kopaha. Krodha, kopaha means the same anger. Parushyam. Parusha means harsh. Parushyam is noun, harshness. Parusha, harsh. Parushyam, harshness. Then ajnanam. The word ajnanam literally means ignorance. Ignorance of anything is ajnanam. Ignorance of the self, ignorance of anything is ajnanam only. But here, ignorance implies avivekaha. Here the word ajnanam, it does not directly mean ignorance. Ajnanam implies avivekaha. Avivekaha means not having discriminative understanding. So ajnanam here implies not having discriminative understanding or lack of discrimination. Avivekaha is the meaning of the word ajnanam. So pretension, arrogance, vanity, anger, harshness, avivekaha, absence, the lack of discriminative understanding, all these become the possession of the person who is born with demonic wealth. All this become the possession of the person who is born with demonic wealth. Asurim sampadam abhijatasya. Asurim sampadam abhijatasya means the person who is born with demonic wealth. Wealth of a demon. Become the possession of the person who is born with demonic wealth. Asurim sampadam abhijatasya bhavati. Bhavati is implied here. So Bhagavan says, Arjuna, so here he says, Dambho darpo bhimanascha krodhav parushyamevacha ajnanancha bhijatasya partha sampadamasurim. So now I've given you the literal meaning of the verse. Asurim sampadam abhijatasya. ஹே பார்த்த, ஆசுரீம் சம்பதம் அபிஜாதஸ்ய ஏதே பவந்தி. சோ தம்பஹா தம்பஹ தர்பஹா அபிமானஹ க்ரோதஹ பாருஷ்யம் அஜ்ஞானம் ஏதே ஆல் திஸ் பிகம் தி வெல்த் பொசஷன் ஆஃப் அ பர்சன் ஆஃப் பர்சன் ஹூ இஸ் பார்ன் வித் டெமனிக் வெல்த். ஆசுரியம் சம்பதம் அபிஜாதஸ்ய பவதி. பவதி இஸ் நாட் தட் சிம்பிளைட். சோ ஃபர்ஸ்ட் பகவான் டிஸ்கஸ்ட் தி வர்ச்சுஸ் விச் கான்ஸ்டிடியூட் தி டிவைன் வெல்த். பொசஷன் ஆஃப் அ பர்சன் பாண்ட் வித் டிவைன் வெல்த். நவ் இன் திஸ் ஃபோர்த் வர்ஸ் பகவான் பிரசன்ஸ் தி பொசஷன் ஆஃப் தி பர்சன் ஹூ இஸ் பாண்ட் வித் demonic wealth. And this Asuri Sampat, Asurasya Sampat, Asuri Sampat. The Sampat is a Strilinga Shabda, feminine gender word. Therefore, Asuri Sampat, Daivi Sampat. So, who is the person who is endowed with these demonic wealth? Of course, a person who is spiritually inclined, the person who has spiritual goal as his ultimate goal, moksha as his ultimate goal, thereby the person who is committed to the pursuit of jnanam and who knows the value of the study of the shastram, who is given to the study of the shastram, naturally will try to have the divine wealth. But a person has no purushartha nischaya. You know, purushartha nischaya means the person does not know what his ultimate goal is. Naturally, the person who is ignorant of his spiritual end will have choicelessly artha kamas as his ultimate goals. If a person has artha kamas as the ultimate goals, the person does not know the value of jnanam. He may not be committed to the pursuit of jnanam. And he, moksha is not a goal for him. And what become his goals? Naturally, artha kamas become the goals. The person who has artha kamas as the goals is said to be a person of materialistic ends. The person of materialistic ends. And thus that person, All these will be helplessly, naturally there in a person who, for whom artha kamas, the material ends, become the ultimate goal. So, the person is not really a rakshasa. He is not asura in his looks. Externally, the person, any human being, appears like any other human being. But still, we call this person asura or rakshasa only in keeping with the person's behavior. Appearance-wise, the person may look very nice, handsome also. He may look very gentle. Outwardly, a person may look, outward appearance does not differentiate this person from other human beings. It is the tendencies the person has. The tendencies based on his commitment to the materialistic ends makes this person a person of demonic nature. So demonic qualities. Therefore, he is possessor of demonic wealth, Asuri Sampat. And Bhagavan here presents very briefly. He elaborately discussed Daivi Sampat. But demonic wealth, Asuri Sampat, he presents briefly here. So, Bhagavan already discussed this Asuri Sampat, these materialistic tendencies of a person of demonic nature, already been discussed in other chapters. And here, Dambaha, let's understand what he says first. Dambaha, as I said, Dambaha also, we can say pride. Dambaha, pride, Dambaha also implies pretending to be what one is not. Being highly pompous, showing off what one does not really have, is Dambha. We also call it vanity. So exhibiting, showing off what one possesses. Even if I possess something appreciable, it can be especially my material possessions. Exhibiting one's material possessions. Because there's a spiritual wealth. A person has a spiritual wealth. One need not exhibit. That becomes exhibited in his behavior. In his, it becomes an attraction. Naturally, it becomes expressed. But here, material possessions, material wealth, exhibiting one's material possessions, wealth, position, is Dambaha. The person has some status or influence or position and he wants a lot of wealth, and the person makes all possible efforts to show it off to the society around. This is Dambaha. And then Darpaha. Darpaha also is another tendency of a materialistic person. If a person is endowed with abundance of wealth or position or possession, if the person is endowed with anything more than others, then this even knowledge, if the person is highly qualified, academic qualification also, any possession in terms of money, power, position, academic qualification, or job, etc., then the person also develops and some sort of arrogance. That arrogance born of one's possession of better things in life is called Darpaha. And this, I have, others don't have. This arrogance born of one's possession of wealth, power, position, qualification, etc., makes this person disregard others, disrespect others, so they do not have reverence for others' activities and possessions. This is Darpaha. And all our Rakshasas in our Puranas, we take from, in Mahabharata, we can see how many people were, especially Duryodhana. In Ramana, we have Ravana. Even Diwali. And also other people. And if you take Hiranyakashipu, all our Rakshasas and all our Puranas, we can see there's so many people. All of them were highly proud and highly arrogant because they knew they alone had extreme powers than others. That's why it's a real typical demonic nature is arrogance born of one's possession or ownership of things. The next, this demonic tendency is abhimanaha. Abhimana also is very close to the thing. Dambha, darpa, they're all very, very close. So abhimanaha is abhimanitvam. Abhimanitvam is manitvam. Manitvam is atimanita, which already we have seen. So natimanita we already learned. Natimanita is, na atimanita is divine virtue. But abhimana is a manitvam or atimanita. Abhimanitvam. Again, this also being full of oneself, looking at one's own self as, looking upon one's own self as somebody superior to others. Others are inferior to oneself. One's own self is superior to others. This attitude and this nature is said to be manitvam, which we have already seen. And the person who demands reverence, the person does not command reverence, he demands respect, demands honor, this is abhimana. So the pride, the arrogance, if the person expresses his arrogance, then it is called darpaha. If a person entertains his arrogance in a thought, it is manitvam or abhimanaha. So pride at the mental level is abhimana. Pride expressed in one's actions and behavior is darpaha. So same pride, arrogance entertained in the mind is manitvam. This arrogance expressed in one's behavior and activity is called darpaha. And next one is krodaha. And krodaha, of course, all of us know very well, anger. So the person who does not have the capacity to accommodate and will be full of anger. And this anger also, the person does not manage. He expresses it because of the pride of his position and because of the influence and the power the person has, which is also anger. Of course, we know anger is basically nothing but unfulfilled wish, unfulfilled desire, gets converted into anger. Unfulfilled expectation, unfulfilled desire, unfulfilled wish, we get converted into the phenomenon called anger. And these people who are already having arthakamas as the ultimate goals, naturally, helplessly, they have all these problems of pride and darpaha, arrogance, everything. And anger will be definitely they'll be slave of the anger. So people of pride and arrogance can't help being a slave of anger. So anger will be naturally there. That is why Shastram says, see, Purushartha Nischaya is so important. Only then you will see, we don't find fault with these problems. See, anger, pride, arrogance, dambaha, darpaha, abhimanaha, krodaha, they're all very natural. They're natural problems. But they need to be, they will resolve only in jnanam. Until jnanam, they have to be handled, they have to be managed. That is why we need Bhagavan's grace to manage them, and we need to live, commitment to live life, dharma alone help us manage them. We cannot undo them at all. And if Purushartha Nischaya is not there, commitment to Bhagavan is not there, commitment to dharma is not there, how are we going to handle them? Naturally, we'll be helplessly, we'll become slaves of these problems. There's no way of managing them. So, darpaha, manitvam, so pride and arrogance will naturally, will have anger along with them. Then, parushyam. See, parusha vachanam means harsh words. And such people will be naturally very harsh in their expressions. Parushyam means harshness. People will be very harsh, very wounding in their expressions, very rude in their behavior. And they did not know, their behavior will not express any dignity. They don't have any manners. Where there is harshness, there will be impoliteness. There will not be any manners. And they'll be very rude in their behavior, very harsh in their expressions. This parishyam. Why people are like that? That is because there's no refinement. Unrefined minded people, the minds are not refined adequately, and they can't help. Harshness is an expression of one's lack of refinement. And the refinement doesn't happen overnight. It's a very subtle. Mental refinement is very subtle. Even to lose some heaviness of the body weight, it takes ages. Very quickly put on, it takes ages to bring your weight under control. Physical weight. And what about the mental refinement? My God, it takes very long time. That is why one has to live one's life consciously in conformity with dharma, prayerfully, worshipfully, for length of time, with the proper attitude and doing his duties consciously. That is how one can become gradually mentally refined. A certain degree of refinement one can have. Thereby one will be qualified for the attainment of jnana. Only when a person attains jnanam, he becomes absolutely a person of absolute maturity and refinement. So the person who is very unrefined, uncultured person means, and harshness will be natural problem. So parushyam. And finally, we have ajnanam. As I already said, even though the word ajnanam literally means ignorance, ajnanam here implies ignorance of right and wrong. Ignorance of right and wrong means lack of discriminative understanding of what is right, what is wrong, what is appropriate, what is inappropriate. Their ignorance of dharma, what is appropriate, what is inappropriate. This is what avivega. Okay, the lack of discriminative understanding of what is appropriate, what is inappropriate, what is right and what is wrong is said to be here ignorance. This ignorance is not ignorance of the reality. It's not ignorance of the self, but this is ignorance in terms of lack of discriminative knowledge of what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. In fact, in the following chapter, Shraddhatri Vibhaga Yoga and Devasa Sampati Bhaga Yoga, in these chapters, 16th and 17th chapters, discussing the 16th and 17th chapters having the topics of Daivasura Sampad Vibhaga Yoga and Shraddhatri Vibhaga Yoga, Bhagavan discusses mainly dharma, the topic of dharma involving ethics and morality. So dharma, dharma viveka. Dharma, adharma, avivekaha alone is the meaning of the word ignorance. And this dharma, dharma, avivekaha is naturally there in any human being because all of us are born ignorant people. We're born self-ignorant. Naturally, we're all basically, predominantly, rajasic and tamasic. Nobody will be, very rarely, very few evolved people are born sattvic. And in due course of time, that's why the whole growth, the whole life itself is designed in Sanatana Dharma. For us to be, for an unrefined, uncultured, raw-headed individual has to become refined, cultured and cultured, civilized person. The whole way of life is designed for that. Therefore, this is avivekaha. Now, having discussed all this, Asuri Sampad also, now Bhagavan moves on to the next, let us move on to the next verse.
Daivi Sampadvi Mokshaya Nibandhaya Surimata Daivi Sampadvi Mokshaya Nibandhaya Surimata Mashuchas Sampadam Daivim Abhijatosi Pandava.
Now Bhagavan really tells Arjuna,
Daivi Sampadvi Mokshaya Nibandhaya Surimata Mashuchas Sampadam Daivim Abhijatosi Pandava Daivi Sampadvi Mokshaya Nibandhaya Surimata Mashuchas Sampadam Daivim Abhijatosi Pandava.
If we do this and stop. So Bhagavan addresses Arjuna as Pandava. Hey Pandava, Daivi Sampad Vimokshaya Nibandhaya Asuri Sampad Mata. Mata means it is viewed in my vision. It is in my vision, or it is, this is how it is considered, it is known, it is viewed. What is this? Daivi Sampad Vimokshaya. So being endowed with the divine wealth, Daivi Sampad, being endowed with the divine wealth contributes for the accomplishment of Vimoksha, freedom from bondage for good. Videha Mukti also, Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti. Daivi Sampad Vimokshaya Bhavati. Being endowed with the divine wealth, being endowed with the 26 virtues constituting the divine wealth contributes for the accomplishment of the absolute freedom from bondage for good. Then Asuri Sampat. Asuri means Asuri Sampat. Sampat is not given. Asuri means Asuri Sampat. And being endowed with possessions, possession of demonic tendencies, being endowed with a possession of demonic tendencies contributes for remaining bound in samsara forever. Nibandhaya. Nibandha means bondage. Asuri Nibandaya, fourth case. Vimokshaya, Nibandaya, Nibandaha, Nibandaya. Vimokshaha, Vimokshaya. Asuri Sampat Nibandaya. So being endowed with these demonic tendencies will contribute for remaining bound, remaining ever in samsara, remaining bound by samsara forever. Mata means this is how these two are viewed in my viewed in the Shastra. Means possessing the demonic wealth is for bondage. Possessing demonic wealth is considered to be for bondage. Possessing divine wealth is considered to be for moksha. And having said that, Bhagavan says, hey Pandava, ma shuchaha, you don't worry Arjuna. Ma shuchaha means you do not need to grieve. Please don't grieve Arjuna. Please don't be unhappy. Oh my God. Whether I am good or not, whether I have which wealth. Ma shuchaha. Why? Sampadam Daivim Abhijataha Asi. Arjuna, you are the one born with divine wealth. Daivim Sampadam Abhijataha Asti. You are born with all these virtues constituting divine wealth. You are born with divine wealth, so you don't need to grieve. You don't need to feel sorrow. Be sorrowful. Ma shuchaha, don't worry, don't grieve. You are born with the divine wealth. See, if Arjuna was not with the divine, born with divine wealth, do you think he would have had this great fortune of being taught by Krishna first of all? Having Krishna as his playmate, as a charioteer, always Krishna was along with him. That itself is the proof he was born with divine wealth. Krishna says, hey Arjuna, hey Pandava, ma shuchaha, daivim sampadam abhijataha asi. You are born with the divine wealth, so you don't need to grieve. Don't grieve. And definitely, you are eligible for attaining moksha. You can accomplish the absolute end. Daivi sampad vimokshaya. Asuri Sampad Nibandhaya. He said this. Okay, I'll stop here. Any questions? we took so long for us to come to this, move on to this next verse. After we have come down to come this far. Anyway, the more we read, we can understand how important it is for us to live our lives consciously. Consciously living our lives implies living a life of karma yoga, commitment to dharma. And when we are not able to live a life of dharma, we need to desperately seek Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of dharma. If you think prayer doesn't make any sense for you, which means you must have seen the fact that you're resolved your individuality in Bhagavan. If you're not able to see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, then prayer is a must. Any questions?
Swaminiji?
Yes?
Vijaya. Namaste, Swaminiji. Hi. I heard you saying that Arjuna was born with Devi Sampat.
Yeah.
So for an ordinary person who is not, let's say, is not born with Devi Sampat, how the willpower will help him to attain it? I mean, that's my confusion. Like, everybody will not be born with Devi Sampat.
In fact, see, certain degree of Devi Sampat must be there. Only then people can even attend the Bhagavad Gita classes. Certain degree of Devi Sampat must be there. Okay, but when you listen to this Gita classes again, we understand, okay, certain degree of Devi Sampat is there, but there's also Asuri Sampat. And how we can convert them. And this willpower, once you understand, there's a willpower is already there. How to make your will stronger? Once you know the value of what you need to achieve, then you make use of your will. And that is why you also seek Bhagavan's grace to bless you with a strong will to be able to live a life of dharma. The prayer itself, you seek Bhagavan's grace to bless you with stronger will. You have will. Bhagavan has already given you will to be able to make best use of your willpower. So, Devi Sampat is there to certain degree of Devi Sampat is there on the part of people. That is why people are able to attend these classes and all. But still, there's also Asuri Sampat. Certain degree of Asampat also is there. There's no human being is totally perfect person, isn't it? So here, the study itself is for us to understand how to convert Asuri Sampat into a Daivi Sampat. Which means how to convert myself from being tamasic, person of predominantly tamasic, rajasic nature into a person of sattvic nature. Overnight it cannot happen. It takes very long. That is why Bhagavan prescribes his way of life called Karma Yoga. Understand Karma Yoga lifestyle, the discipline, and live a life of Karma Yoga means do your duties in conformity with Dharma. Be conscious of your actions, what you are doing, how you are doing, where you are doing, and also be prayerful to Bhagavan. Always seek Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of Dharma. That's all you can do. Then that is you, once you pray to Bhagavan to bless you with the strength to live a life of dharma, you have brought Bhagavan into your life. And if you make efforts to live a life of dharma, your will becomes surrendered to Bhagavan. The will surrendered to Bhagavan in terms of dharma becomes a strong will. That itself becomes a strong will. And you will know, then there is no, then you are overcoming your demonic nature.
Basically, that was just like a kind of a confirmation. Like, is it possible for an ordinary person?
Of course.
Thank you.
Shall we conclude the class? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnam. పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. హరిః ఓం తత్సత్. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం.